Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 49 of the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast. It's me and it's himself.
Hello. How are we? All right, Brian? How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. How are you after your weekend of non-stop twittering and updating and writing and debating and your Christmas?
Yeah. No, it was a busy one. It was fun. It was more this. It was more confirmation. Like, there was nothing really. There were standouts, obviously. There always is. And there were some letdowns, because you get that too. But generally, it was kind of like you say, oh, there's these athletic players. There's these players with good movement skills. And this was a combine which really was more of a one that confirmed already what we knew.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And look, Joe, it's great to have you with us on time this evening. We do apologise for you missing out for the past couple of weeks with us. We are trying to resolve any issues we have, but it's great to have you joining us from the start. And if people do have comments, make sure and send them in. As we always say, you guys are the MVPs of this show. Without you, it's just me and Mike having a conversation amongst ourselves, and we can do that anytime we like.
Yeah, and we do that too.
We do indeed. Before we dive headlong into the actual combine itself, Mike, look, obviously, there's a couple of things have come out over the weekend. Yeah. And generally, heading to the combine, Jerry will get on the bus and he'll talk to the guys from 105.3 The Fan. Stephen will get held in corridors and he'll be asked questions, you know. And look, I suppose the biggest question that came up, it's, you know, the contract talks with Tyron. It seems like Tyron Smith will not be renewed as the Cowboy. His contract will be allowed to lapse.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be weird to not have him around. I mean, for the younger Cowboys fans, I mean, they've only ever known a Dallas Cowboys roster with Tyron Smith on it. So to have him not around, and I mean, it is crazy because, ironically, last season, I know, obviously, Tyron Smith, he's known for just missing time and you've got to figure it out. But last season... Yeah. As I would say, one of his better seasons as a left tackle. I mean, he was really, really effective last year. So that's definitely going to be missed, especially then when you tie everything in with, like, what's going on at center, what's going to be happening at right tackle with Tom Steele. He'd like to say Steele is there, but he didn't have a good season last season. No. So... you kind of just have to look at it all, especially tied in with Tyron Smith, and wonder, like, how is this offensive line going to look? And you think as well, this is something else I thought about, and I made a comment, is this is probably the last season we have of Zach Martin, too. Zach Martin's coming up. So you think that we go from having this brilliant offensive line so all of a sudden it gets diminished a little bit, then Tyron Smith goes, then Zach Martin goes, and it's going to be looking totally different. I think in 2025, you know, because Zach Martin is a guy who is, he's an intelligent guy, and he's smart enough to know that you have to get as much out of this as you can, like monetary-wise and everything else, but leave while you've still got your health. And you're still on top. And Zach Martin has both of those things. Yeah. So, you know, you think that he could get out next season. He's taking his money. He's built that property with his wife. I forget where he was. Anyway, he's done all that. So, you know, it's going to be him moving on as well. It's going to be totally crazy to look at.
Yeah. And I mean, just to have a little expansion on Tyron himself. I mean, a lot of folks got their knickers in a wad about this over the weekend. Like, typical Jerry, blaming the Joneses for absolutely every single decision they make. And if you look at the cold hard facts, and you've already alluded to it, you know, in 2024, Tyron Smith is going to miss a certain amount of games.
Yeah, yeah.
For the last five, ever since we started doing this podcast 5 years ago, we always said, what are the Cowboys going to do at left tackle? What's the plan when Tyron goes down?
Mm-hmm.
The front office have now made a decision and said, we are going to move on. We don't know whether that's going to be through the draft, free agency, or they're going to move Tyler Smith back to left tackle. But they've made a decision.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, right? The one thing I will say on this is that they have said, they've said, look, to Zach Martin, go and test the market. We're going to let you go out there and find what you want. This is really essentially his last contract.
Yeah.
So in one sense, everybody's going, oh, that's it. But in another sense, when you stop and you think about it just for a second, Tyron Smith officially still hasn't signed with another team yet. Like, for all we know, he could go out there and he could go around and he could look at the offers that he gets, and none of those might actually be what he likes. And he could end up coming back to Dallas, and it might not be for the money that he wants, but it's like for everything else, he could be like, let's stay in Dallas. And then all of this then is kind of like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it goes away. And I mean, that's the thing is, I think it's more likely than not. And look, I don't have any inside information. You don't have any inside information. We're only going.
They're keeping that one. Yeah, they're keeping that one close to the chest.
My thinking is Tyron Smith might actually retire. It's been talked about before.
It's possible he could retire. But, I mean, I think he just wants to stay in the game for just one more contract. It is my feeling from what I've gathered. Is that, you know, like you say, I mean, like, it could be. He goes out, tests the market, goes, oh, really? You know, like, I don't know, for argument's sakes, the Patriots is the best or the highest offer. And he's like, do I really want to go all the way from Texas to, you know, to New England and play all the way up there at Rhode Island? Well, it's not Rhode Island, but you know what I mean. But, you know, do I really want to travel that far and be in the cold and the snow and how the taxation laws all change? And he's like, or do I stay in Dallas? And then Dallas give him the offer and he goes, it's not really the money I'm looking for. I think I'll just call it a day. That's the possibility of going into retirement, I think.
Yeah. So moving on from the Tyron talk, we'll move on to now. Sorry, I'm just trying to get the banners up. The Dak talk. A lot of what we were being led to believe was before the season started, which is next week, is that Dak's contract would be renewed or an extension would be done. And once again, a story broke over the weekend. I'm not sure if it was Adam Schefter or Ari Meriov I remember seeing it from. But the talk is that Dak might not get a new contract. And once again, Cowboys Nation got their knickers in a wad about this as well. When everybody has been saying, let's get rid of him, he's not the guy, let's move on, just draft another one. And again, the Cowboys front office are going, well, look, maybe let's, as Jonesy kind of said to us after the season, let them all bloody well prove they're worth a new contract. And this seems to be what's happening.
Yeah, I think this really is leverage talk. So, Dak really, at the very front of it all, had all the leverage when it came into the contract talks. But what's happened, because like I had this question on one of the mailbags, which we answered, and they said about, should Dak give up some of his leverage? And in a way, what's happened is he's lost some of the leverage after the league came out and said, you're getting a cap elevation of an extra $30 million straight away. Like, a lot of people turned around and went, oh, here we go, here's Dak asking for more money. It's like, well, no, it's the reverse. Mm-hmm. So because now the Cowboys have the extra cap space, they don't have to offer him the extension because that's money that they can use to hold on. So what I think Jerry's doing at this stage is he's playing quite a dangerous game, but he's playing a game where he's using the media to talk to Todd France. And he's like saying, look, if you don't work it out, your client, our player, our quarterback, we're not going to give a long-term contract for, and you're going to have question marks on where he goes next. So it's almost kind of like a Mexican standoff when that happens and what is happening. So what's going to happen now is it's really who budges first, who blinks first. And, you know, it could be that neither do. And Dak does end up playing for the season and riding out this contract. You still have to deal with the void years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the void years, luckily, in terms of dead money, is a lot less than what the Broncos are going to have to pay Russell Wilson for this year.
That's true. Yeah.
Wow. But it will still crop up. But, you know, and the part that's frustrating is people are all going, oh, Dak should take a pay cut. Dak should take a pay cut. And it's like, right, okay. But at the end of the day, the way the contract system has set up is it's not Dak's fault. So Dak gets this money, however it's structured, regardless. Yeah. He gets that money. So when they restructure the contracts, they're not taking money off them. What they're doing is they're just bending how the money is paid in representative of the cap. So what that ends up happening is you shift the amount of money further down the contract, essentially. Yeah. You make it cheaper one year, but more expensive the other. It is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a bit more complicated than that, but that's the best way to explain it. And now what's happened is we get to this stage because they've restructured twice during the contract. Yeah. That his last year is like nearly $60 million. That's not Dak's fault. So Dak has signed the contract at the start of the season that this is what he will be on per year. It looks great on the years when you go, wow, we're only paying Dak $25 million. We've got a starting quarterback that led the league in touchdowns. We only paid him $25 million. It's like, yeah, but get ready because it's coming. And you try and say this to people. And then people go, oh, you know, he's not worth $60 million. Yeah, okay. But was he worth $25 million to you when he was doing all of this, when he got you to the playoffs? You were quite happy about that? You can't have it one way and have it the other. And because of how the system is set up on restructuring, it's ended up looking this way. But for people who don't understand it, they just think that that's what he's getting. It's no. It's just that's how it's put down on the system because of how the Cowboys have handled the contract. While it's live, if you like, while it's active.
Like the very basics of a contract is you give a guy a contract for a set number of years. There's a certain amount of it is guaranteed, which you have to put into an escrow account.
Yes.
And that gets released over time to Dak Prescott. So Dak Prescott isn't going to get $60 million this year. He already has a lot of that money in his bank account.
Yep.
He's just going to get a certain percentage, which will be paid to him. There's a lot of that as a signing bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
What you have to look up with contracts is your APY, your average per year.
Yeah.
And Dak's average per year is $40 million on this contract.
Yeah, yeah.
If he gets a new contract, it's going to be up somewhere around the $50, $55 million. That's going to be your average per year. And what you will see this year is if that new deal is done, Dak's number might drop to $30
million. Yeah.
But it's that average per year you've got to look at. But, you know, I mean, I think, again, everyone in Cowboys Nation overreacted because it was a lot of what I saw on Sunday was like, here go the front office again. You know, they've backed themselves into a corner with Dak. They're not going to have the money to pay CeeDee Lamb. They're not going to have the money to pay Mike. And you're going like, hold on a second. Look at the cap next year. We are $100 million under next year's cap.
Yeah.
There is no issue with money. yes, you might end up paying CD and Micah more if you re-sign them. But the cap next year is probably going to jump another 20 or 30 million anyway.
Yeah.
On top of the 100 million that's there.
Yeah. I think, like, with the CD one, he doesn't ever seem to be in a panic or a rush. I think he's going to be a guy that will just, he will go with the flow on that, which is good. Micah, I don't know so much.
Mm.
That's going to be quite an awkwardness. I think we'll know more when it gets the fifth-year option. The fifth-year option is going to tell us a lot about intentions and all the rest of it. So that's one to keep a close eye on. But I mean, because people argue as well. They keep saying about with Dak's contract, they like, oh, he's asking for 60. It's like, no, that's the rumor. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can have this discussion about how much he's asking for once it happens. I'm not going to discuss some rumor that somebody said and talk about that, because I can make it up and I'll just put it out there and it doesn't mean anything until we see it.
You told me it was 80 million this morning.
Do you know what I mean? Like, even still, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everyone was up in arms when Dak got his last contract and they were just like, oh my God, you're paying him the most. And you're like, okay, but in the space of 3 years, he's gone from the highest paid quarterback that he's not even in the top 10 now. Yeah. That's how volatile this market changes and how quickly the inflation price on these guys go up. We're saying all this, and I mentioned it earlier, that the Broncos essentially are paying $80 million for a guy to not play on their team. Because that's just like how the way that this system goes. And just I go back to, like, let's say if we just go back 10 years, like, to think that you would pay a quarterback $80 million to play for you for a year is it's insane now when you say it, to play for you. I mean, it's a little bit not as crazy to say now when you think that there's quarterbacks on $60 million, but you go back, you would just be like, what? No, that's like half the cap. But that's just how it's gone. And because there's teams and the cap's increased and all the rest of it, this money keeps going up and up and up. You're able to have more flexibility with these things, and the money flies up and has done incrementally quicker because of it.
Yeah. So moving on from that, and Dane Brugler put out his latest mock draft today after the combine. He had us dropping from 24 down to 28, picking up an extra third round pick, and still drafting the guy that Dane has been on since before Christmas in Tyler Guyton.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
With the potential we're still going to re-sign Tyler Biadasz, you're going to have a left side of Tyler, Tyler, and Tyler.
Yeah. I mean, like, you would hope that they sign Tyler Biadasz, but if they don't, huge hole. And I get the idea with what you've done. I'm a big... I advocate very strongly for the idea of Dallas trading down, because that just gives you so much freedom in day two to jiggle around.
Yeah.
Whether it happens, I don't know. It's a possibility, of course.
Yeah.
But going down, getting Tyler Guyton there. And a lot of people went up in arms about when Guyton was the pick on Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. Mm. And they were just like, I don't know. I think this is a bad idea. And you're like, but I understand. But there's two things here with Tyler Guyton. Number one, he's already playing blindside blocker in college because the quarterback in Oklahoma is a left-handed quarterback, which means that your right tackle is your blindside blocker. So he has experience in that. But also, he's played left tackle as well. Yeah. So you have this option. And I explained this the last time when it came out. I think what people have more of the problem with Daniel Jeremiah's is he drafted Tyler Guyton as a right tackle. And that is what he put in his write-up, where Dink Brugler is a bit more sensible. He's like, no, I'm playing him left tackle. And you're like, yeah, well, that completely works. And, you know, we're talking about Tyron Smith leaving. Tyron Smith was a right tackle in college.
Yeah.
And look how that worked out.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of change with this offensive line in the offseason if, as we say, Tyron Smith, Tyler Biadasz don't come back. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have to bring in a couple of free agents. They're going to have to do something through the draft as well. But, I mean, you kind of said it there. Like, Tyron Smith played his first season with the Dallas Cowboys at right tackle.
Yep.
And then flipped over to left tackle in his second season. So, there's no reason to think just because you might draft Tyler Guyton, you might draft Marius Mims, that they aren't the long-term solution at left tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can remember a season, God, it was like 2016 or something. And you go back and you had a look at the offensive line. All of them had experience playing left tackle.
Yeah.
And it's a similar thing here that Guyton's played left. Tyler was a right tackle and he played left. This Cowboys coaching staff, from as long as I can remember, have always diddled with their offensive line positioning. That they've proven to us enough times that I can draft a player that played this position in college, but I will move him and make him this in our offensive line. And it's worked. Yeah. It's worked time and time and again. And I mean, center, not so much, but you know, guards and tackles, they've moved around, and Tyron Smith even played right tackle in 2022. Yeah. So they've shown you that they will quite have, like, Tyler Smith is the next good example of that. They've moved him in and out, not so much last year, but they do. And they've shown you that they're just willing to do that, and they're willing to find a way to make it work.
Yeah. And look, that's what they'll do. But look, moving on to the main bones of the program itself. So we said we were going to look at five guys who really showed up at the combine. You know, guys who are going to now be on the Dallas Cowboys register. And we've picked the five guys. It's two positions plus one. Two guys for one position, two guys for one position, and another guy. And I think we'll start with the other guy because your phone was nonstop. And I'm not trying to be biased when I say this or make any jokes, because I'm on record. I think he's the best linebacker in this class. Edgerrin Cooper, his stock improved massively over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, just for disclosure, we're talking here about guys on the Cowboys radar that were formal interviews as well. Because, I mean, it's all well and good. We could talk about all the guys in the combine that impressed and were fast, who have increased their stock since the combine, but this show would take hours. So if you focus on the ones the Cowboys are interested in, Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, again, when I said at the start of the show, this combine was a lot of boxes being checked and confirmation of what you've already seen on tape. Mm-hmm. So the athletic testing for me, although it was really good for Edgerrin Cooper, it kind of like just confirmed. I was like, yeah, we know he's fast. We know he's explosive.
Yeah.
But for me, what was more impressive was with him was the on-field drills. So you got to see the full range of motion with him, going through the bags, going through the work, backpedaling, stepping forward, stepping to the side, and the reactions as well. You got to see the reaction time. And everything with him was just so smooth, so effortless. And that's just what I like. And I just watched it and I was like, and you know, Peyton Wilson, people will say, when I made comments, and I made comments and people were just like, oh yeah, but what about Peyton Wilson? I'm like, yeah, Peyton Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper. So you want to talk about them? Wilson is a fantastic player. He probably, in the NFL, will be a better player than Cooper. Possibly, you know, I'm not saying completely, yeah, but there is this possibility that happens. But I was like, but unfortunately, in this draft, in terms of as a prospect, Wilson is less than Cooper because of all, mm-hmm, the red flags. And people had a little bit of an argument with me, but that's how it is. And that is the truth, that he has more red flags than you would be willing to be happy to go ahead and use a second round pick for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people get tired with the Dallas Cowboys taking these project players or players that have red flags in the second round. We've seen it so many times and they're tired of it. And I just think that you taking Wilson instead of Cooper would be classing into that road of frustration for Cowboys fans. Most, yeah, will go straight away. The initial reaction will be positive. And they'd be like, ooh. And then once they find out the news that, you know, he's 24 years of age,
yeah,
two ACL injuries, shoulder injuries, head injuries, you start going through it and all of a sudden you go, oh, no. And you're just like, yeah, we've taken that project guy again. Yeah. So that was just it for me with Edwin Cooper. And it was really good to watch. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. And I mean, look, you've talked about Peyton Wilson and As we've been trying to say to anyone for the last couple of weeks, if you want to get an insight into who the Cowboys are going to draft, who have they interviewed?
Yeah.
Who's been at the Senior Bowl? Who's been at the Shrine Bowl? And I have the list here of linebackers that they interviewed. Peyton Wilson is not on that list. So Peyton Wilson is not a consideration for the Dallas Cowboys.
He was not on the list. Quite correct. And I put that on there in, yeah, one of the talks. And they were like, oh, no, the Cowboys are doing it. I was like, if that's the case, looking at the guys who they expect to take, Wilson is, he wasn't even an informal interview. Wasn't even registered as an informal, which,
yeah,
I, as I said before, pay little attention to the informal part of it all.
Yeah.
Because nobody really ever knows what that means. But,
yeah.
They looked at other guys. They looked at the Michigan linebacker.
Junior Paulson.
Yeah, who I, yeah, quite like. Yeah. Me and Paul spoke about him last week.
Yeah.
The issue with Colson, of course, is the logo. It's the helmet that he's from Michigan. And people will be like, oh, no, not another Michigan defender. There's going to be, if that becomes the pick, there's going to be huge. But, I think, They went out and they've had a look. I think the next stage for the linebacker position, because I'm not saying they're going to rule out Peyton Wilson, but
yeah,
the next stage now will be who goes to Michigan's pro day and,
yeah,
who's coming here on one of the visits.
Yeah,
that's the next big one.
Yeah, and just for anyone who wants an idea of who the Cowboys had formal and informal interviews, Nick Harris and Professor Matt Owen both have a listing of all the players the Cowboys interviewed, either formally or informally. So give those guys a quick look out. You know, I mean, look, Mike, is Edron Cooper going to be there for us in the second round?
Well,
or
that's
has
the trouble.
His stock gone too,
yeah, early? He was a, say, around about the fringe 50. You know,
yeah,
he was a fringe top 50 player, purely up on the basis of the position. Off ball linebackers so volatile, but I think I think players, coaches are going to see what he's done in the combine in Indianapolis and go, mm-hmm, there we go, he's over. So that puts him slightly out of range for Dallas.
Yeah,
there are the big one I think that could save Dallas. And I would just let the board fall to them in the second round.
Yeah.
Is if there's a run on wide receivers, second round quarterbacks and cornerbacks. If that happens, Cooper will fall to them. The only other way you can go and get Cooper is in a trade down like with Dane Brugler. So you do, yeah, the trade down, you get a high second round pick, that becomes your pick. So then, yeah, you use your next pick in the second round to either go up in the third and do it that way, or you use your second and your third and you go up in the second and get another high ranked second round player. That would be the way to do it. So I think that's the only way, the only possibility now you get Cooper.
Yeah. That's for sure. So look, if we move on to the next position, look, we've well flagged this in terms of talking about Tyron Smith potentially not coming back, and that's offensive tackle. We've mentioned a couple of the names already, mm-hmm. but I mean, the Cowboys met with a lot of offensive tackles. They met with
loads:
Amarius Mims, J.C. Latham, Jordan Morgan, Isaiah Adams, Blake Fisher, Talisa Fuaga.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a who's who, and then they didn't look at anyone who was graded as a guard, but they've also looked at Cedric Van Pran and Graham Barrett, and they both had them in for formal interviews, who were both flagged as being centers. I mean, Amarius Mims is a guy who tested off the charts.
Yeah, oh, Mims did, yeah. The athletic testing was insanely... like. So the thing with Mims was... So he had the injury in the season where he missed half the season. So that was a big question mark, really, and you're kind of like, oh dear. But then you see him go out there, he does insanely well on the 40. 10-yard split is very high.
Yeah.
On the height weight chart, when you look at it, he's like right at the top in terms of that, because he's a big guy. Goes on to do the jumps, does the hops, tests high in the 90th percentile, and you just go, there we go. This guy is an explosive player who's huge. You look at the measurables, everything's there, and you just go, okay. The only part that we don't get to see is the medicals, because that's a big one. And whether you're willing to take the chance on him based on the lack of playing time. But from what you saw at the combine, you see a guy who has all the numbers to be a he's a first round offensive lineman.
Yeah,
for sure. Just he comes with quite a few question marks is the trouble.
And like that's the concern, and that's the worry with Amarius Mims, in that we've spoken about him at length in the past on the offensive line show we did about a month ago. But as you said, Amarius Mims has only started 8 games for Georgia in his time. And that's a huge issue given some of the injuries he's had. And this is something, if we're going to draft Amarius Mims, you're going to have to watch, is he a 30 visit? Do the Cowboys go to the Georgia Pro Day? If they do, then watch out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, definitely. Because then they've given away their hand, really. But I think for definite, there's no doubt that they're going to go offensive line early with one of their first two picks.
Yeah.
Mims, if it's Mims, I'll be totally fine. The thing is if they go in the first round and they go offensive line, whoever they take, I'm not going to argue with them, because they've proven so many times, time and time and again, where you go, ooh, I don't know. Then all of a sudden they get to the season, they play, and you're just like, well, you know, there we go.
This guy here, how wrong was I about Tyler?
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Don't mind holding my hands up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I liked him for the run blocking, because he was the best run blocker in that draft class. So I can see what they were doing. You know, if they were to do the same thing again, and like, say they take Tyler because of the athletic testing. You go, okay, I'm not going to argue with you, because whatever process it is that you've got down seems to work for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And look, if you're kind of to compare, like I have the numbers for both Guyton and Amarius Mims up. Like, Amarius Mims tested way better in most categories than Tyler Guyton.
Mm. Yeah.
So you know, yeah, Dane is saying it's Tyler Guyton is the guy, but depending on how the draft falls, and this thing, you don't know until that Thursday night how the draft is going to fall, where the dominoes are going to fall, and who's going to be available to the Cowboys. So this is why they're going to have to do their scouting, do it well. And as we say, look, we're not privy. We don't know what the medicals are going to say on guys. So keep your ear to the ground. Keep an eye on what the Cowboys are doing in terms of pro day visits, in terms of 30 visits, in terms of who's visiting on Dallas Day. Because let's not forget, there's an awful lot of guys around the country from Texas who can come to Dallas Day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But the other offensive lineman that you wanted to talk about is Troy Fautano. I mean, this is a guy who really, really tested unbelievably well. I think he had one of the quickest 40 times of an offensive lineman ever.
Yeah, I think he was just off the cusp of being a sub, you know, sub 5 time. I think it was like 501. But for me with Fautano, what it was is there was a lot of talk in, like, once the college season ended and we're starting to build up towards the combine of, in the NFL, he projected better because of the arm length and everything else, that he was a guard, that they were just like, he's going to project as a guard. The Cowboys met with him, talked to him, and then you come in with the measurables and you go, oh, wait a minute, he's like 35 inch arm length. That's offensive tackle. That's not a guard. Then you look at the wingspan, then you go through, like you say, the testing and everything else. I try and bring up what I've got. So his 10-yard split is 177, so that's 70th percentile. 501, 90th percentile. Then he goes out and he does a broad of 113 inches, which is 92nd percentile. So that tells you he's athletic, he's strong, he's powerful. But then the measurables tell you he's fit to play tackle. You're just like, this isn't an issue. So what you're seeing on tape was obviously now it needs to be reevaluated because then there's something else at play. Not negatively towards Fautano, but obviously you've got to look at the type of guys he was up against. So that's probably why it made it look deceptively different to what you were expecting. So you look at that and I just go, there we go. They've looked at a guy who's powerful and strong enough to play left tackle, who has the reach and the length and the wingspan to play tackle, and they've interviewed him. And then he's tested through the charts. The issue now, though, is I think for Dallas is that after the testing, he's put himself in the top 20 category because now he's no longer viewed as a guard. Because you're going to take a guard a lot later, like more in the second round, than you would an offensive tackle. Tackles are way more important and they're harder to find. So now you see that puts tackle back on the board for him. So now people are going to be like, yeah, no, that's completely adequate for what we need to play tackle. So now that puts him back in the top 20 category, which means he's ever so slightly out of reach. Again, you know, we're talking about what possibilities of ranges there are. I think if you get a run of the pass rushers, because the pass rushers all did really well. Yeah. Like there's no like Nick Bosa in this draft, but there are a lot of these guys who are like fringe top 10 pass rushers, edge defenders, but there's a lot of them. So because there's a lot of them, what you're hoping is that there's a run on that. There's a run on the wide receivers, which is definitely going to happen. You know, once, like, say, you see Harrison jump off and then you see the LSU wide receiver jump off, maybe not Brian Thomas.
Malik Nabers.
Yes. Yeah. So Nabers. So you think, those two come off the board, it's not so much of it, but if there's a run on the wide receivers, we're all of a sudden the next group of guys. So like Brian Thomas. Yeah. So if he starts to go off, then all of a sudden there's going to be a scramble. And then if that happens, guys like offensive tackles start to come down the list.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever take wide receiver over tackle, but there are, I can think of some teams that would kind of go that direction before yeah. Dallas if there's a run on wide receivers, just because they don't want to miss on them. So, and have to try and take somebody in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you add the quarterback situation in there as well.
Yeah.
That drops everything down. There is a slight possibility, but I think because there's so many good offensive tackles in the range of where Dallas are drafting.
Yeah.
If Fatano's there at, like, say, 20, I wouldn't yeah. expect Dallas to go up and get... I don't see them trading up. They're just going to hold fast. They're going to wait because they'll just be like,
yeah.
We'll get the next best available to us yeah. that will fill the role.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we've said this enough. The Cowboys don't have the draft capital this year to go.
No.
It's not going to happen. The most likely scenario is, as Dane did earlier, it's drop back a few spots, pick up an extra later round pick. Because as we say, you don't have a pick between the third round and we think it's the end of the fifth round. So there's no way the Cowboys are giving up anything to go up this year.
Man.
But apart from Fatano, and look, we've spoken about Fatano, Guyton, Marius Mims. Is there any other of the offensive linemen that people need to keep an eye out for?
I did like J.C. Latham. J.C. Yeah. Latham, I quite like. Combine was kind of like neither here nor there. It was yeah. fine. It was good. It wasn't a bad combine.
Yeah.
For me, didn't move the needle either way. It kind yeah. of like, again, going back to the original comment I made, it just confirmed. There was a lot of confirmation. Yeah. So J.C. Latham was a good one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, the other guys. There was a couple of other ones, but later round guys that just kind yeah. of like, they may have pushed up a little bit, but not by much.
Yeah. And look, I suppose the question some people are going to ask, Graham Barton was a formal interview.
I mean,
If you do get wiped out on offensive tackle, Graham Barton is potentially going to be right there in your lap.
If that's the case, I'm definitely trading down.
And trade down.
Definitely. At that stage, I'm 100% I'm trading down at that stage.
Yeah, because we're going to move on to the next position. And I'm looking at the names here and I'm going, there's a potential there's 10 of these guys go in the first round. And there's, look, we've said it, there's guys for everything you want at this position. There's speed guys, there's catch guys, there's possession guys, there's every kind of guy you want. We're talking about wide receiver, very obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, look, we said it last week, Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't going to test, didn't need to test. Malik Nabers probably didn't need to test. Romeo Dunze didn't need to test, you know. But when I look at the other guys the Cowboys have spoken to, formal interview with Brian Thomas Jr., formal interview with Xavier Worthy, formal interview with Javon Baker, formal interview with Troy Franklin, informals with Adonai Mitchell, Jermaine Burton, Joe's guy here, as he says, Keon Coleman, Bob Means, and Jalen McMillan. You know, wide receiver is in play for the Dallas Cowboys.
100%. That's what, and like, I messaged Paul funny on the weekend, and I'm just sitting there going through watching, just chilling out. I'm having a few drinks, watching the combine, and I go through and I'm having a look at the formals, and I'm like, just let you know, like, wide receivers definitely something they're going for. I said they're up to 6 formal interviews already, and then 5 minutes later, I'm texting them, like, they're up to 7 formal interviews, and Paul's just like, oh no. So it definitely seems like they're after a wide receiver. So
yeah,
the biggest riser, there's two big risers in that list. The biggest one is Xavier Worthy. I mean, you can't discount the fact that this dude just broke the 40 record. That stands for something. I know what people are going to say that, we've seen this before with John Ross, with Cincinnati. And, you know, look how that ended. He was only there for like 3 or 4 years and it never really materialized. Yeah. Agree that the speed is not going to win you everything. But but Xavier Worthy played in Texas and has 26 touchdowns. He's shown you that he's more than just a speed guy, that he eclipsed 1,100 yards last season. You know, there's more to Worthy's game than just being a burner, than being this guy who's going to run downfield. The Cowboys kind of have a burner now in terms of Brandon Cooks. But if you do decide, and there are whispers, but if they do decide to move on from Brandon Cooks, this is your guy. This is the guy who you will look to change with who Cooks was. But the other one was Brian Thompson Jr. I love Brian Thompson Jr. I really do. And I know there's the other Texas guy, A.D. Mitchell.
A.D. Mitchell,
He's fantastic as well. And he had a huge combine. And he was a formal interview as well. But I like Thompson Jr. He's, again, another deep threat guy. But he really showed off in the combine, showed up well. There was comments I heard from what I'd seen and from guys from the Scouting Academy that he was interviewing really well. Everybody loved him. So that stands as something. If you decide that you don't want one of these burner guys who really showed up at the combine, what the Cowboys are really missing when you think about it is an X type receiver, especially if they do decide to move on from Gallup. They don't have a real pure possession X type receiver. I know people will say, oh, they got Lamb. Well, Lamb's more of a slot guy when you stop and you think about it. He's a fantastic big slot receiver. He's just so, though, has enough versatility to his game where, because he's this really good sort of, it's hard to explain. He's on the cusp of being like this very physical guy. So there's just enough there that you can move him and play on the outside. But when you say that, you're just kind of like, okay, so you've got a slot guy, you've got a deep field threat. So now where's the possession? Where's the X receiver? Cowboys don't actually, when you stop and you think, they don't have one. So it'd be interesting to see from the list of the guys who they bring in. So the tell will be with Brandon Cooks, or maybe perhaps they decide to go with they try and take a leaf out Miami's book and just go with pure speed. They build an offense on just pure speed, deep threat. You've got, you put the fear in the opposition of being a fast team. So they could go that way, keep Cooks. But I think if they bring in the faster receivers, if it's Thomas or Worthy and they're bringing them in, it could spell that they're moving away from Cooks, or certainly that after Cooks has played next season or this season in 2024, he's done with Dallas. And then whoever the guy is that they, if it's Worthy or Thomas, they're the deep threat going forward. But it's both of those fantastic. They did great. Not just, just beyond that, you know, I'm trying to have a look to see if I can find. Numbers.
I mean, you kind of mentioned it there in terms of Xavier Worthy. You know, 26 touchdowns across the three seasons. And look, as a Longhorns fan, I still contend Worthy's freshman season was his best season.
Oh, yeah. On
the 40 acres. And, you know, like, if you look at the results from the weekend, the combine numbers, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy and Jatavion Sanders. Quinn Ewers is doing that whole John Travolta.
I know.
looking around the room, you know, where are my guys? But yet I know in Texas they have guys who are just as fast, if not faster than the guys they've lost.
Because I made the comment that, you know, when you look at Sanders and then you look at how Worthy and Mitchell all did in the combine, you kind of like go, oof, did Quinn Ewers' stock for next year's draft just go down? when do you think he should have done more? If these guys are as that level of athleticism, it was my point, you know?
Yeah.
It's more of a tongue-in-cheek comment.
Yeah. But the other thing with Xavier Worthy is, as well as you say, getting a burner, Xavier Worthy is also a potential for kick return or punt return.
Exactly. Well. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not true. Something you want with your first-round pick to be. But, you know, we did use CD Lamb in that first season as a kick and punt returner on some plays.
They've done it to Dez Bryant.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, it's not something that is beyond the realms of possibility that they might bring, as you say, they might bring in Brian Thomas, they might bring in Xavier Worthy, they might bring in A.D. Mitchell. And you use one of those guys as your punt returner as you're getting them familiar with the system. You let Brandon Cooks go at the end of the season when his contract is up. If you bring in one of these guys, you're probably also waving goodbye to Michael Gallup as a post June 1st cut. Mm. You know, so the thing with this is, and free agency starts next week, the Cowboys will always cover themselves to allow themselves to go best player available in the draft. So, you know, you're not going to rule out a wide receiver in the first round.
I mean, like, you know, because I've done a couple of scouting reports and you get comments from people like, oh, he's not going to be there. You know, why have you bothered doing this report? And I'm like, should I have done a CD Lamb report back in the day?
Yeah.
Because I didn't bother thinking he wouldn't be there.
Yeah. And I mean, what was the comment you put out yesterday morning? I think you said you were told was 60 people wouldn't be there at the first, you know, at our first pick.
Yeah, but you're just sitting there watching the combine and you make a comment about play and they're like, he's not going to be there. And you're just like, oh, okay. And then you do another one, he's not going to be there. By the time you get through it, and I was looking at it all, I was like, it's about 50 or 60 people, prospects now, that I've had messages and comments about that aren't going to be there. They picked 24th. So, like, over half of these guys are going to be there.
And like, you've automatically ruled out the quarterbacks as being picks for the Dallas Cowboys. So that's probably another five or six guys you could add on to that.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't done it. I've scouted. I literally have. It's the one position I've done. Because they're the very apex of everything. I've done the quarterbacks, but the reason I scout the quarterbacks is you do them first because it lets you know how this particular draft is going to go in terms of what the Cowboys need. But, you know, I haven't put out any scouting reports.
Hmm.
And I'm just like, what's the point? But you're right. You know, like, really, you should be like, the Cowboys aren't taking quarterback in the first year. And then all of a sudden that becomes the pick and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, for argument's sake, imagine this, right? Imagine, for whatever crazy reason you can think of, and this is the NFL draft where anything can happen on a day.
Yeah.
But there is a chance, and I can see it, that Jaden Daniels could be available for Dallas. I know that would be crazy.
Yeah.
But people go, nah, there's no chance. I'm just like, what? Just wait. Just think about what you're saying. Like, you know, I just took the mick out of Quinn Ewers with, you know, not being, you know, did his stock go down? Well, tell me okay, Jaden Daniels has shown you a lot. He did.
Yeah. But
did he not have a very high-powered offense he was able to lean on?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, you know? So, like, what if teams are looking at that and are just a little bit nervous? Then all of a sudden it gets to Dallas and you're just like, oh, wow. What's going to be the decision here? And then I didn't bother doing a scouting report because I never thought the quarterback would be there in the first. Because you said he won't be there.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just looking at, as I say, that graphic that Matt Owen had up. The Dallas Cowboys did not interview a single quarterback this weekend.
No, they didn't.
And what's the one other position they didn't interview?
Hold on. So there was a lot. There was literally an entire list of informal interviews.
Yeah.
With tight ends. But the other one was defensive end.
No, they did five in informals at defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, like, nothing major, but they didn't do any special team guys.
Didn't do any safeties either.
No safeties. Yeah.
So once again, folks, you can scratch off safety from your Dallas Cowboys draft.
But quite rightly so, mind, when you think about the position Dallas are in now for safety, it's like one of the deepest, and it's ironic to say, when we spend so many years, even on this show, frustrated about the safety position with Dallas, that now when you think about it, like, if there was players to leave, like, say, you know, as we're talking, you know, Jaron Curse leaves.
Yeah.
You look at that and you go, okay, well, the next guy behind him is probably better. And then you go, think about Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker as a tandem safety. You're like, that's one of the better. I'm not saying best, but they're a top 10 safety tandem. And then you add everything else in there. So you got Kwanye Thomas. You're going to have Marquise Bell move more into that traditional role. Yeah. He's going to take over Jaron Curse's role.
Yeah.
He's probably better at it. Yeah. And then you think, Israel Mukamu. What are we doing with Israel Mukamu? So you kind of like go, well, safety isn't that big of a deal. Like, safety's really deep. Like, there's going to be probably somebody from the list that gets cut because of the system that Mike Zimmer's going to put in where you don't need these free safety nickel packages.
Yeah.
You need more of the cornerback nickel package, which means you probably more than likely need Jordan Lewis back if he comes back. But the safety position for Dallas is totally fine. It's more stock than it's ever been.
Yeah. Like my own take on what you were saying there is that both Mukwamu and Wright will be cut before at roster cut time.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think either of them makes it back.
Nation Wright does not fit the system at all. Plus, he just hasn't ever evolved from what he was initially. It's just this big, tall, lanky guy that... You would be a fantastic defender in the red zone, but everywhere else just doesn't have the physicality because of who he was. So he's never evolved. And Israel, nobody ever seems to know how to utilize him or how to coach him. So you've got big question marks there.
Yeah. And I mean, look, we all know Mukwamu was a Dan Quinn pick.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Nation Wright was a Dan Quinn pick too.
Yeah.
When you look at Seattle, you kind of like
speaking of Seattle.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams has just been released.
Not this again. Not again, please. Don't need Jamal Adams.
Yeah, we don't look. I'm perfectly happy to ride with Malik Hooker. I wanted to draft Malik Hooker back in the day.
Oh yeah,
I'm happy he's here now. You have a center field safety who can play what's in front of them, doesn't give up very much behind them either. And that's what you want.
And also, like, you know, like with safety, people will always talk about the stats.
Yeah,
with cornerback, but. With safety, it's what they don't do. It's what doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Because they get missed as well on the screen. The safety, like especially the type of safety Malik Hooker plays, he's off the screen, so you're not really ever taking in what he's doing. Yeah. And I always say like that if they're not making mistakes when the ball is there, then your safety is doing everything that you should be expected to do. That free safety role, you know? And then, you know, like Donovan Wilson, the start of the season, because of the injury, you're kind of like, but as the season got on, he became more of that playmaking, strong box safety type guy that you had before. So I think the two of them together work very, very well. That's perfect. I'm perfectly fine with those pair there.
Yeah. And as you say, look, Thomas and Bell are going to be back there full time.
Oh, yeah.
Like Zimmer is not going to be playing safeties as linebackers in his system.
No, you're going to see a lot more traditional play from the safeties.
Yeah.
A lot more traditional play from the safeties, the linebackers, and the corners. Very traditional.
So, what are you guys talking about on Thursday, Mike?
Thursday show, we are going to look at some day three guys. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some guys who have risen up people's boards. Might even try and sneak on a guest if we can and see how that goes.
Very good. Very good. And we will also have another article out this week. So myself and Jamie are currently working on an article about Dallas's impending free agents, who we think they should keep, who we think they should let walk. So that will hopefully be out before the weekend. So keep an eye on socials. We'll post that up there. But before we get out of here, Mike, we always love to pay the bills. So I'll throw it over to you.
Okie dokie. Yeah, if you're going to a game this year, make sure you book it through Cowboys Experience. They have game day tickets, stadium tours, they have meet and greet shows, and anything that you message and ask them to cater for, they will provide. As always, go to their website or their social media, ask the questions. Make sure if you do, you use the promo code UK Cowboys because you get some free stuff along with it. And they're also the provider that we will go through for when we go out to Dallas next year for the big trip.
2025.
Can't wait.
We're making the big trip. And before we get out of here, Mike, we do have one special final comment we have to make. We'd like to pass on our congratulations to Miss Kelsey Charles.
Yeah, she got married. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, and another big news before we get out of here, Dak has had the baby.
Yes. So Dak is the daddy.
Dak is daddy, and Kelsey is now a missus.
Yeah. So it's all going on out in the world of the Dallas Cowboys. But look, as always, Mike, I'll leave you wrap up the show.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye from me and him.
See you Thursday, folks.